counselor, Cedric Aaron, and so we kind of split duties between the schools and we split caseloads. So
sounds rather ominous. Caseloads.
Caseloads.
Juvenile diversion. I mean, is it that structured? Is it that formalized? Is it that crime prevention?
It's really grown, I would say. We use evidence-based practice, which is just a fancy way of saying we're moving away from those old school techniques of, the scared straight or DARE programs or sending kids to juvenile hall or probation. We're getting away from those punitive things. We're using restorative justice practices.
Boy, does that sound governmental.
Doesn't
restorative
it?
Justice. Okay. What was wrong with DARE?
What was wrong with DARE?
Or is this just an evolution coming out of that?
The thing with DARE was that it exposed kids to drugs early on, and it wasn't... it just didn't work. It actually increased drug use exposure,
really?
Because they were saying, hey, this here's this drug that people are getting into and it seems fun.
And this is why they're getting into
But don't do it.
Oh, okay.
And kids are like, oh, so that's what weed is? Okay. And so I don't know.
Okay. So it wasn't accomplishing
its goal. It wasn't accomplishing its goal. I know that in the
cool
recent
cars,
years,
though.
It's been revamped.
Oh, okay.
From what I've heard, it's been revamped. I've done a little research on it. So I think they're getting a little, they've gotten wise over the years.
So what are the diversion programs? What's the standard of measurement to know that these are working where the others may not have been?
The standard of measurement, so right now we use, again, I'm going to use the same evidence-based practice. We use the same criteria as probation uses to assess the risk of a kid. And so we are dealing primarily with lower at-risk youth instead of the higher risk youth.
Because they're probably already in the criminal justice system somewhere.
They probably are, yeah.
So what do you look for? Or is it a physical? Is it an activity? Is it an action? How do you identify Johnny versus Jimmy?
Okay. Yeah, our referrals come from law enforcement. So it might be a misdemeanor or an infraction that a kid commits, whether it's possession of alcohol, under the influence, theft. And then other referrals come from the school, and we have a SARB board, which is the Student Attendance Review Board. And so if kids start missing school, that's usually an indication that something's going on either at the home or with the individual or,
Like truancy?
Truancy.
I mean, the old truant officer kind of thing?
Yeah. So instead of going to truancy court, what we like to do is get diversion in there and do a wraparound services with them.
There you go again. Wraparound services.
I know.
This is going to be a long show for you.
Yeah.
So what do you mean by that?
What do I mean by wraparound? This is using community resources. So I guess the easiest way to explain it is if we have little Johnny coming in and we think his problem is just truancy. And then we actually do an assessment with him and we find out that there's some stuff going on in the home, whether it's lack of employment for mom or substance abuse for little Johnny. We find resources in the community to help them out.
So kind of a coordination
effort
of matching the needs with some of the different programs that are already established?
Yes.
Normal.
Yeah, it's a little bit social worky. Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. Is this being a cop or is this something else?
It is not being a cop. It is definitely a counseling position where diversion counselors offer brief intervention, drug and alcohol counseling with the kids, or accountability counseling, which is, little Johnny comes in and says, "Oh, I stole this, but it's because of this," and we do counseling to get him to take responsibility for his actions without making those excuses, and also doing a little bit of restitution. It's definitely being a counselor. It's a strange balance because we're working with the schools, we're working with law enforcement, but we come from psychological background.
Do
lots of schools of thought.
That's where I was with the different areas. Does everybody embrace? Are the schools standing right next to you? Are the cops standing right next to you? Are the parents standing right next to you? Is it everybody standing there really supporting you, or do you have some of those challenges also?
You know, there is natural resistance from the families sometimes, but I would say overall, the families we've worked with, the schools we work with, the police officers from Arcata Police Department, the Sheriff's Office, they're very open to our program. They support us. Yeah.
They see it's working.
Yeah, we have offices on both McKinleyville High Campus and Arcata High Campus, and that was all Northern Humboldt Union School District and HCOE.
KINS, News and Information Times, 819.
It's not the place they hope to be in spring training, but the San Francisco Giants have the rest of the summer to play, and they'll be bringing their exciting brand of ball to Kika, Thunder Country, 101.5 FM. They've got a lot of games left on the schedule against contending teams, and playing the role of spoiler is a definite possibility. Be tuned in for all the action, all season long, brought to you on KINS in part by Angelo's Pizza, Wyckoff's Plumbing, Electrical, and Hardware, and Living Styles Furniture.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 824. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Crystal Perez from the Arcata Police Department and other areas.
And other areas.
Yes.
Wherever they send me.
Before the break, Crystal, you were indicating McKinleyville and Arcata.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that there's a difference between the two populations, different challenges that those two school districts have that are unique to one another, or is a school district, and you may have a percentage difference in one area or another, but by and large, it all acts the same way?
I think that the schools utilize us differently, where McKinleyville High has a really great AOD counselor on campus, drugs and alcohol counselor, sorry. And so that is a service that they can provide on site. Where Arcata High doesn't have that, and so we are called up to fill in that gap at Arcata High.
Just as prevalent in both, percentage wise.
Yeah, I would say just as prevalent.
At a level that's concerning.
At a level that is concerning, I think that it becomes concerning when a kid is doing it at school, who's bringing it at school. I think it is becoming a concern in general because of how normalized it's become, just specifically speaking about marijuana.
That's got to be a tough sled.
And it's hard because the kids are able to be a little bit more sly about it and using edibles, or there's, you know, it's become...
They're not necessarily reeking of...
Yeah, exactly.
A cloud of smoke.
Right, they're not smelling like anything fresh or burnt. It just looks like they have a pack of gummy bears in their pocket sometimes.
Man, it'd be tough to be sent to the office for gummy bears.
Yeah.
Exactly. Is this a challenge throughout the state? The normalization of use of marijuana by high school kids, or junior high kids, or elementary school kids?
I'm not sure about, you know, throughout the state. I know that it's a growing concern for people in Humboldt County.
Well, and it has been since, what was it, the mid-70s. When I was going through, that's when it started.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think what we're seeing more often now is just with the edibles and concentrates and kids not being the best at self-regulation or self-control as the risk of overdosing.
Are you seeing overdoses?
Yeah, we've seen a few.
What does that how does that manifest itself with marijuana edibles, other than just, you know, either passing out or getting ill?
Passing out, getting ill.
Those are...
Yep. And then I want to say that one kid was hospitalized last year. So...
Yeah, swimming upstream is always tough, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So if, in this area, and certainly January 1st, we're going to have a lot more visibility of it also.
Mm-hmm.
How do you... What are some of the strategies to counteract that normalization at home of this stuff?
One of the things that I guess that you can do as far as at home is, you know, I think that parents have a lot of control in this arena. And so a lot of times there's a message where it's okay if you do it at home, or it's okay. But what we find is kids don't respond well to that. That just means they're doing it at home. And otherwise, you know, the legal age for smoking is 21. And so if parents enforce the law and enforce the rules.
Well, I mean, if we took beer
mm-hmm.
instead of pop.
Mm-hmm.
And made that distinction. There are those that, you know, they host the beer parties because they don't want their kids driving. Are you hearing parallels with marijuana, that the parents are playing host?
That they're playing host. Yeah, I would say so. I would say mm-hmm. that the parents are playing host here and there, and I think that it's just. A nativity is what I would say.
No, so I'm staying away from my normal attack on this one. So
I know,
this is cool. Yeah. The edibles themselves, is that something, it tells you how ignorant I am, are the edibles something that are made at home?
Yeah, they can be.
I mean, the gummies, I'm thinking, okay, you know, trying to get our guys to figure out how to make Jell-O is tough enough, let alone something like a gummy.
Right.
The brownies, I think those have been around probably you know, long enough that, okay, fine, you can use it in baking and do that.
Right.
Are they stealing from their folks? The stuff that's in the house?
The same thing, you know, it's the same thing as when you're, you know, in high school, probably when you were in high school and I was in high school, our access was through our parents. We didn't, you know, go play Hey Mister and get alcohol. We knew someone's parents who... left it out in the open, and so I think that that's the same route.
Has it knocked out alcohol, or is alcohol one group of kids and marijuana another group of kids?
I can't speak to that.
Okay, the beer kegs on the peninsula. I know they still happen, but they don't happen with nearly the regularity that they used to. So I'm wondering if there was a substitution there or not. But I guess if you don't have the answer, you don't have the answer.
I don't. Yeah.
Fine. KINS News and Information. Time is 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News is at Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Crystal Perez from the Arcata Police Department. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by REDEC. Crystal, some of the challenges must be very intriguing as you get working in the diversion programs with the students at the high school level. Do you also get down into the junior high and the elementary school age students also?
We do. We get fewer referrals from those groups. It's great. We have connections in Sunny Bray and Blue Lake, and also we go all the way up to Trinidad. So,
kind of road warrior too, huh?
Northern Humboldt Union School District, and
So when you're working with one a younger challenge,
mm-hmm.
same question, same processes. Do you have to adjust things a little bit differently, or do they get the benefit of the programs that maybe their older peers would have, but instead of waiting until they're at the high school level, maybe you can slip in at the seventh or eighth grade level?
Yeah, I think that one of our goals is to start working, to start doing that earlier, to get the earlier intervention at those levels. That's definitely a direction that we want to move in, because obviously the earlier the better. In my opinion, but
same challenges or different issues?
Different behaviors, same challenges.
That would make sense. So how do you work somebody through? Let's use best case scenario so that we don't spend a ton of time.
Okay.
Okay, you got somebody. What is the normal, pick whatever the more random things are, whether it's marijuana or stealing or whatever it might happen to be. What is the sequence of activities that you do with that individual?
The sequence of activities, the first thing we do is we get a referral for, let's say we get a referral from the school, or if we get a referral from law enforcement, we go and we talk to the school. What's this kid's behavior like? What are their grades like? What's the attendance like? And then from that point on, we contact the parents and we have a meeting, and we do a, an assessment. And so this is a needs and risk assessment. So, risk to reoffend, criminogenic needs are things that contribute to criminal behavior. And so we'll assess that, whether it's, family, peers, mental health issues.
So you can find the cause?
Yeah, we're trying to find the root of the problem. And so
So then let's say you identify that.
Mm-hmm.
There are different approaches to try to have behavior modification. Some are internal, some are external, you know, carrot, stick, you know,
yeah.
all those types of things.
Yeah. One of the
what seems to be the most beneficial, or the one that ends up with a positive result that you're looking for?
The most beneficial, I think, is getting the kids' parents involved. So I guess this is the perfect segue into the parent project that's coming up in October. Arcata Police Department and HCOE is hosting a parent project. And this is a 11-week series for parents with kids who are at risk. So this might be all the same things we've been talking about: drug use, stealing, gang affiliation, criminal behavior. And this is actually a really great toolkit for the parents to come. And it's not teaching a parent how to be a parent, not saying they're a bad parent. It's really teaching them how to work with difficult children.
You mentioned gangs.
Mm-hmm.
Upswing, same number, less? Or I've not heard gang. We see some of the spray paint, but you never know what's going on with that. Is it at the same level that it has been historically and nobody's talking about it? Or is that just a concern it might rear its head again?
I know that the sheriff's office has a gang task force, and I think that they're doing a really good job at suppressing the gang activity.
Do parents give you blowback?
In the classes?
Either in the classes, they've been identified, or their children have been identified. I would think that there's probably, it's a very short list.
I want to say that the families that give us blowback are very few and far between. Yeah, I would say that, yeah, I would definitely say that most of the families, because a high risk or like strong-willed youth, they're pulling their hair out. And so when we get a referral for them, they're like, yeah, we'll take your help. What's going on? Like, what do I need to do? They're actually pretty receptive, I would say 99% of the time.
So it's more of a thank God moment response.
At least, yeah, at least there's something. And it's at least there's something. And
so it's not a surprise to them that their kid is acting out.
And I think that there's like a misconception that at-risk youth would be a certain, you know, social demographic or
hit some profiles.
It's not. It's any, you know, we get lawyers and, you know, we get blue collar, white collar families coming in and saying like, yeah, what do we do? What happened? And so.
That's probably the first question you ask, huh?
Yeah.
What did happen?
Well, yeah, what did happen?
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Crystal Perez. Crystal, for folks that are parents mm-hmm. or grandparents, mm-hmm. and they want to kind of observe, feel, sense before things become issues, what are some of the canaries in the mine shaft that you would suggest they use just to kind of check in?
I would say one of your greatest tools as a parent or grandparent or guardian would be connecting with your child's school, because they have your child from 8 to 3 o'clock. They know exactly who your child's peers are. They know how much work they're actually doing, opposed to how much they're telling you they're doing when they get home. I think that, you know, we're fortunate to live in an area where the schools are really involved and really caring. And so they, you know, when I go in and I ask Jim Mongi from Arcata High what's going on with this kid, he can give me like a full background. And so I'm like, it's great.
Not only the last 2 weeks, but the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And probably older brothers and sisters. And maybe if you went to school with the parents, you get a little bit of feedback there too.
It's a blessing as far as a small community sometimes.
What are some of the trends that you see that are out there that maybe parents are unaware of, or certainly the grandparents may not be as aware of, because they get, particularly grandmas and grandpas, they get the little snippet of time, the little snapshot. And
I would say, you know, we already talked about it, so I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I definitely think that that there are marijuana things that you can look up online. Kids are doing dabs, which is another concentrate. Another thing would be technology and having access to your kids or grandkids' Instagram and Facebook, what they're saying, what they're talking about, what their friends are glorifying, or what kind of information they're trading.
So rather than staying away from it because you might feel like you're imposing
right.
on the kid, jump in with both feet and let them know that you're there.
Yeah, don't let your kid have an Instagram account or Facebook account without you knowing the password, because with the same risks as you don't know who's talking to them. There might be older adults, you know, trolling.
Yeah.
So
get a whole nother level for concern for a lot of us popped up.
Sorry. Yeah, it's true. And a lot of cyberbullying goes on and parents don't know anything about it.
What is there a definition yet of cyberbullying? What is that?
I don't know the exact definition.
It kind of seems to be a phrase that's used a lot, but
it's just the same thing as normal bullying in
the
school.
The old face-to-face stuff?
The old just trash talking.
Yeah, without the trash can involved.
Yeah, without the without the trash can. It's just trash talking online.
There you go. And folks can give you a buzz if they
want
to get more information at Arcata PD.
The direct line for the parent project or any information on diversion for me is 825-2538.
Yep. Thanks, Crystal.
All right, thank you.
See you everybody Monday.